This is World Roots on the BBC with me, Lucy Duran. This music, with its bagpipes and fiddle, sounds very much like it comes straight from the Scottish Highlands, and it was recorded in a pub that's surrounded by lush green hills, with mist rolling in from the nearby Atlantic Ocean, and locals who speak fluent Scots Gaelic. But this is actually happening 2,000 miles away from Scotland, on the other side of the Atlantic, on the island of Cape Breton in eastern Canada. Cape Breton has a strong tradition of music with roots in Scotland, and in this programme, musician and broadcaster Mary-Anne Kennedy travels across the island to hear not only the region's Celtic music, but also the music of the other communities of Cape Breton, including the heritage from Old France and the even older culture of the Native American peoples.
Many thousands of Scots have made the one-way journey for a new life in Canada, from 18th century post-Culloden through the privations of the Highland clearances of the 19th century, where Cheviot sheep were deemed more profitable tenants than human beings on Scottish estates, right through to the present day. The Scots and Gaelic communities here in Cape Breton and Nova Scotia as a whole still refer to Scotland as an Seán Dhuí, the old country, and the people have held tight onto their culture. The tunes and songs that survived the Atlantic crossing and those that belong to here have a different flavour. But the Scots certainly weren't the first to live in Cape Breton. The French had settled here a century and more earlier and had called the place Île Royale. Before them, of course, there were the Native Americans, a people known as the Mi'kmaq. The three communities now live side by side on the island and will be meeting musicians from all three communities. This is one of the most exciting of the younger generation of Cape Breton fiddle players, 21-year-old Chrissy Crowley. But first, let's meet the proprietrix of the Red Shoe Pub. And she's no ordinary pub landlady. In 2005, after three hugely successful decades of touring and recording, the famous Rankin family decided to take a long break, and the three Rankin girls took over this pub. They put on live music here 7 days a week, and with traditional music going so deep in this community, there's never a shortage of people to play or people to listen. Here's Heather Rankin.
Well, some people would say it's in the blood. There's definitely something to be said for genetics. But I think also, for a lot longer than other parts of Nova Scotia, we stayed isolated, and the traditions held on. The Scots, when they came over, brought that very strong tradition of music and storytelling, and it held on here. We didn't have radio and television until much later, and our entertainment was the outdoors and music, and there was a very strong tradition of having visitors, which is something you don't really see very much anymore. People call ahead, but when we were children, people dropped in and you would provide them with a cup of tea or something to eat, and usually some music, some stories. But now that things are changing, it's nice to have a venue like this that people can come to hear our music.
So music and entertainment and Caelleying really was part of home and family and community then?
Yes, and it still is. And it's kind of, I think in a way, had a resurgence. I think there was a time when the younger generation wasn't picking up the fiddle, wasn't following the traditional music as much. And it's really encouraging to see there are a lot of young people playing the fiddle now. And every day of the week in this area during the summer and spring, fall season, you can go to a Caelley and hear somebody, young person, play or step dance or sing, and it's really wonderful. The music is stronger than ever here.
We'll hear more from the young fiddler, Chrissy Crowley, in a wee while. But let's slow things down for a moment and listen to Glenn Graham. He's a player who's researched the richness of the fiddle styles of the region as well as playing them. And he's joined us for a few tunes at the Red Shoe Pub session, accompanied on the piano by his mother, Mary Graham. The family lives down the road from Mabu in Judique, the village which was the first to be settled by immigrant Scots back in 1775. Family and heritage mean a lot in Cape Breton. They're the main influences that formed the unique Cape Breton style of fiddle playing, as Glenn demonstrated for us.
It has to do with dance rhythms, pressures on the bow. We push in and let off kind of in between the beats. We create kind of a breathing between notes, I guess, and a lot of droning, underlying subtle droning that we do that makes the sound just sound a little bit bigger, I think, than just playing melody notes on one string.
Can you show me what you mean?
And we also do some gracings as well, so instead of just going, we go something like, so we're decorating the notes, like becomes, and instead of just going, we're going, so pressing in on the beats, which creates this sort of pulsated beat to the music. And I guess that's very noticeable in our playings, because a lot of us play for dancing. And
how much is the repertoire of the fiddlers over here drawing on the old country?
In Cape Breton, a lot of these tunes came over with the settlers, and they passed them on orally from family to family and person to person. But we also had people that were musically literate, and I'm thinking now that maybe even more so than we might have given the settlers credit for. But they brought over collections, and especially during the wars, some collections came over, some added collections. So we have these old Neil Gall collections, Scott Skinner collections. You get all these tunes with names from place names in Scotland that we still play here. And
they're being Cape Bretonized.
They're Cape Bretonized, yeah, in terms of the way that we apply the style to the tune. I don't know, the dynamic of this tradition has been really strong here, where there are enough people guiding it and holding on to what's important to it, and there are enough people that are still composing tunes and keeping things fresh and trying to incorporate, you know, little things here and there. What's good will last, what's not will just probably peter out.
So Chrissy Crowley is back at the session with her band. Chrissy's music, we'll hear tell from herself why in a little while, is a blend of family roots and contemporary innovation, where spontaneity and improvisation are an integral part of the sound, but where the dance tunes remain at the heart of the matter. Here they are again with Strathspeys and Reels, beginning with a traditional Mabu Strathspey.
I guess you could say I belong to the Chisholm clan of Margaree, Cape Breton, and the Chisholms were all fine fiddlers, and I started playing when I was 12, when most of the fiddlers had already passed away or had stopped playing. So I started playing with no idea that I actually came from the fiddling family. People told me through time after I had started. So that kind of, I guess, reinforces the idea that the music is in the blood here in Cape Breton and Scotland and Ireland and those Celtic areas.
Cape Breton is like a lot of places that I've come across in Celtic music, especially, where the music went through a phase of not being popular or cool or something
that
wanted it.
I'm not sure if it's cool yet.
Really? Where does it exist then in your generation's consciousness?
For the most part, in my generation, those that don't play think of it as drinking music. It's almost comical. So you get a lot of what I call the goons at your shows. But there is a pretty large contingent of people around my age, I'm 21, that are playing the fiddle or grew up in a fiddling family that truly appreciate it and know the tunes and can name one on the spot or know a little bit of step dancing. They just sincerely enjoy the music, and it's not just a big beer fest to them. And even for that matter, I love when it's a beer fest night. You know, people think I'm a rock god. I think it's great.
Take a drive for a little over an hour south of Mabu and you reach the village of Iona. It's in the middle of the island, but it feels like you're on the coast, as it's on the shores of Cape Breton's huge inland sea, the Bradore Lake. It was here that many of the Scottish Gaelic-speaking migrants put down roots. For decades, the authorities tried their best to do away with the Gaelic language in Canada altogether. But there are still several older native speakers on Cape Breton whose rich and distinctive dialects reveal their original roots, right down to the specific island their ancestors came from. Cape Breton represents the last true Gaelic diaspora in the world. And though the language is in a fragile state, there's now a whole new generation as well who've chosen to learn the Gaelic language and traditions. We've come to a milling frolic, a regular social gathering to sing the old work songs for Shrinking Tweed, the walking songs of back home. Everyone takes it in turn to lead a song, and the group around the table includes a good few of the older generation, like Rod C. McNeil and Micheál McNeil. This song, though, is soloed by the leading light in the Gaelic revival in Cape Breton, Mary Jane Lamont.
Hello, Romberg Action. Kushildrake, Grain Artha, Gill and Casta Cluta, Aduik Nanartha. Hello, Romberg Action. Amatha Hawa Quailing, Bavoy Akersala. a fee, he'll choose a tree, run reaving a pile.
I'm Rod C. McNeil. I was born in a place just about 5 miles from here, O'Barra Glen, and my age is 87. Thinking of my great, great, great grandparents, and most of them came from the island of Barra and south east.
Pantaling marwan nach praskantana kail nach Gaelic sagabag.
When I was born, it's almost entirely Gaelic speaking. But of course, once you went to school, that was forbidden. You don't even want to hear a word of Gaelic. Well, we just took it for granted because that was the law. It's like saying, don't steal, don't use foul language and so on, so don't speak Gaelic well. Just another command, another law, but some of her laws are not just laws, are they? Whenever there was a party of any time, there was always singing. I remember my mother saying to me, isn't it time for you to be learning some Gaelic songs? My sisters learned, and there was 9 of us in the family. I think we all had some Gaelic songs. The song goes back to the age of sail, a love song. This fellow wanted to go to the island of Mull, but I guess the weather was so stormy, he couldn't get across where his girlfriend was. It ends up with saying how sad it was for him to be living in the land of Oisin, and he can't get to see his girlfriend.
I'm Colin Watson, and I grew up in Valley Mills in Inverness County, and I live in Queensville now. I'm 28. Yeah, I have Scottish roots on my mother's side, particularly, and my father's grandmother was a McNeil, and that's a song made by Roddy Alec Morrison from Grand River, Richmond County, Cape Breton, and it was a song about a voyage he went on from Boston to the West Indies. Around the turn of the 1800s, and they ran into a really bad storm, worst storm in 100 years, so a lot of people were saying at the time. So it ruined a lot of property up and down the shore, and it took some lives, and Roddy Alec and his crew were stuck out there in the storm on the way down to the West Indies. But they made it down, and they made it back safely to port, so it's a song about the voyage and just the trials they went through.
My name is Mary Jane Lamond, and I live in Cape Breton Island, Nova Scotia. So a frolic is just people getting together to work together. So that's what it means. You can have a haymaking frolic, you can have a spinning frolic. But the milling frolic here, it's just to take the cloth off the loom. It has to be shrunk, the fibers have to be fulled, so the cloth is soaked in liquid and sewn in a circle and pounded on a rough board table and usually passed to make it kind of an even. And there are literally thousands and thousands of songs that go with this particular kind of work. Now, milling frolics here in Cape Breton, I think they're just kind of a social occasion, I guess. And the blanket is really there because the songs require the rhythm. So yeah, no, it's just a gathering of people together. And I think it was really at a milling frolic that I had my first moment of being determined I was going to learn this language because I wanted to be at that table. And as well as being my background, but I think it was more the music and the songs and that kind of, that tremendous joy of all those people lifting up their voices together just for the joy of it.
My name is Michael John H. McNeil. Yeah, they called me Mickey, and I was born in Jamesville in 1928. We were always used to talking Gaelic in the house, you know. My parents, well, they were Gaelic speakers, and we had a little farm there. And after school, I went to work on the railroad. I had five sisters, and I was the only boy.
Hewlin, 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 hain, lad, hewlin, father, a hain, a gaig, lad, nor a me, oaks, me, a beck, and caleb, gerhet the goose, a rhine, my lair.
They didn't want to hear Gaelic at that time, you know. It was going out of style, and everybody was going for English. There was one time it wasn't allowed. We got a word from the Nova Scotia, you know. No more Gaelic allowed in school. No more Gaelic. It wasn't to be spoken, you know. It's wonderful that the Gaelic is coming back. Yeah, they're teaching it now and again in the school.
I'll tell you, the first time I was in Scotland, I was at Chrissy Lawson's house in Harris, and they invited some local Harris singers over, just people who sang songs, and they started singing songs that I had heard on the North Shore here, where all the people came from Lewis and Harris, and one woman started to sing, Chavimi Buan Stuvivuam, and I was listening to her, and she had basically, you know, the melody was pretty much exactly the same. The verses were exactly the same, pretty much, and they were in the same order. That's 200 years that those people from Lewis and Harris settled on the North Shore, almost 200 years anyways. And that song didn't change in either place. Like, that's an amazing tenacity of a tradition.
You're listening to World Roots on the BBC with me, Lucy Duran. There's more from Marianne Kennedy in Cape Breton after this.
BBC.
Always on the lookout.
And I never set patterns, and I'm particular about
concealing the truth.
One of the first things that goes in conflict is trust.
Lying to your family.
I have colleagues who have still never told their families what they're doing.
Because some of the people you've sworn to protect are out to kill you.
They've made that perfectly clear that we're top of their hate list.
The BBC talks to the policemen of Northern Ireland who stay secret.
Answering doors, who they speak to, who comes into the house.
In order to serve.
I read my environment every moment of every day.
The Secret Policeman, on air and online from the 24th of March on BBC World Service.
With more correspondents in more places than any other broadcaster, the BBC gives you international news and information with a truly global perspective.
I'm Lucy Duran, and coming up in World Roots in a moment, Marianne Kennedy will be continuing her journey around the island of Cape Breton in eastern Canada. There'll be music from its oldest inhabitants, the Mi'kmaq people, and from the French Acadian community, who've managed to preserve their language and culture despite efforts to expel them during the 18th century. Marianne will be joining a traditional Acadian kitchen party. But first, the news.
BBC News with Marion Marshall. Mauritania says Libya's former intelligence chief, Abdullah Assanoussi, has been captured. The authorities say he was detained at an airport after arriving in the country with a fake passport. Mr. Assanoussi has been on the run since fleeing Libya last year. He's accused of crimes against humanity. The death has been announced in Egypt of the head of the Coptic Church, Pope Shenouda III. He was in his late 80s and had been in poor health for several years. The Coptic Church is the major Christian Orthodox community in Egypt, but relations between Copts and Islamic groups have become increasingly strained recently. A Shiite militant group in Iraq says it's released the former American soldier it kidnapped last year. The group, which is loyal to the Shia cleric Muqtada al-Sadr, produced the man at a news conference in Baghdad. He said he'd earlier served with the army in Iraq, but was there in a civilian capacity when he was abducted in June last year. The health ministry in Syria says 27 people have been killed in two explosions in Damascus. State television said an intelligence complex and a security compound were targeted. Activists have been holding a protest in the Moroccan capital, Rabat, against the law on sexual violence, which allows a rapist to marry his victim as a way of avoiding prosecution. It follows the suicide a week ago of a 16-year-old girl who was abused during such a marriage. An English FA Cup football match has been abandoned after one of the players collapsed on the pitch. The Bolton midfielder Fabrice Muamba fell to the ground during the tie at Tottenham Hotspur. Paramedics immediately rushed onto the pitch to try to resuscitate him, and Muamba has now been taken to hospital. North Korea says it will invite foreign experts and journalists to attend a rocket launch it's planning next month. North Korea says the mission is to put a satellite in space, but the US believes the launch is a disguised test of a long-range missile system. BBC World Service News.
I'm Lucy Duran, and welcome back to World Roots. Marianne Kennedy is making a musical tour of the island of Cape Breton in eastern Canada, and she continues with music from the village of Eskasoni, part of a First Nations reserve, which is the centre for the community of the Mi'kmaq people. One of the famous champions of their culture on the island was Sarah Denny, who died in 2002, and her son Joel is carrying on her work.
Joel, tell me first about the Partridge Song.
Well, the Partridge Song was sung for children when there's a social gathering. And the Partridge says, you know, Atwanahe Kwasi Pedro, which means the when there's a hunter that will approach a partridge that would be hunting, and it runs away, and it'll run away in such a way that you have to sing the song for him. So, Atwanahe Guasi Ji Kojo Guasi Pedro Hena. So, the way it runs away from you, You got to sing for him.
In today's Cape Breton, it seems that the different communities and cultures that were here, that arrived here, they seem to get along pretty well.
When time of need, when each culture needed other, famine or whatever it could be, and there must have been some sort of social events that they had. But in these social events, they also exchange songs and dance. And either side, you know, mimic the other's sound or chant or fiddle tune, whatever could have been. So we can do a step dance doing our traditional dance. And a lot of our songs are also some of the chants that we used, but they were Scottish tunes.
I understand that there's a kind of an acceptance between the different communities, but you must still come up against prejudice in various shapes and forms.
Yes, it is very hard to go out from our native community, which is secured here, and you don't have prejudice here, and then you go to another mainstream community, which is a town nearby, and they will have an attitude, they will always stereotype, and it's too bad that we have that, you know. I think They knew our history because of the French and Scottish and English and Mi'kmaq were always, you know, these are four cultures that were situated here and had to survive somehow. But I'm not sure why our schools or our mainstream schools don't communicate that to their, you know, who they teach.
Do you find it difficult to keep the young people, to keep your kids interested in the language and in the culture that goes with it?
A lot of our children, like my children, my grandchildren, are very fluent in dance and song. But the kids here are scared now of who they are. Maybe being stereotyped by even their peers in other schools. And it's sort of terrifying because maybe could be the last dance for our song and dance. If this generation doesn't pick up, my generation will be gone.
We see big families around here, strong families. What does family mean?
Our language is a different language other than what you might hear in English. We don't need a dictionary. In every word that we talk, we use descriptions, core words, which is descriptive to any item, what color, what it looks like, or shape. If I say a woman, abit, we would say it is a role that you carry the egg within. There's also no, like, swear. We don't have any obscene language, so it's a different concept. It's very peaceful.
Is it difficult to hold on to that way of looking at life? And at the same time to embrace the Western culture?
We have a difficulty because of the roles that we had when we were in our youth years. We understand our language, our first language. We never spoke. First time I spoke English was, well, 9, 10. And as I'm in school, and I don't know what these people are telling me. But, you know, they're very violent toward me because I couldn't speak English well. And we grew up like that, not feeling good about who we are and what we, and even our language. So the conditioned fear is still here. But there's people like my mother and my father kept it strong and taught us, be strong, be what you are.
Will you give us another one of the songs that your mother has passed on to you?
Yes, I will. The honor song is recent. It was 1990 that this came out, and there was a cry within in our communities that we're losing our culture and we're losing our identity. And the honor song says that get me dear the minute. Let's honor, let's stand up and fight with our songs and our hearts. Let's stand together with our communities and hold hands with our children. That's the honor song.
Joel, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Get me dear the minute. Don't tell you no old day, nigga much too, hey, ma, we done it. Get me dead minute, don't what a big soul day, nigga much too, hey, born in my adult in it. Er bon mad ult in nestan i sok teligalog sik ola sit hamu eya eyo aweo he ha ya ya weo eyo he ha ya weo he ha ya ya weo he ha ya aweo.
Welcome to Aunt Muriel's Kitchen. Kitchen parties are a big tradition in Cape Breton, as well as across the whole of eastern Canada. It's what I would call a ceilidh in the proper sense of the word. It's just a party in someone's house where you're sure to find great food, good conversation, and it just wouldn't be a kitchen party without the songs and tunes breaking out. And as you can hear, for this party, we've come to one of the French-speaking communities of Cape Breton. The French were here long before the Scots or the English, and the communities of eastern Canada were always and still are quite distinct from the French-speaking communities of Quebec. These are French Acadians who first settled here in the 1620s. But in the 1750s, after defeat by the British, there was a series of large-scale expulsions of French from eastern Canada. Some went to Quebec, some to France, many went south to Louisiana. And 10 families isolated themselves on the tiny islands Île Madame and Île de Petit Gras in the south of Cape Breton. Their descendants are still here, and joining us for this kitchen party are several of their finest musicians, Dolores Boudreau, Celeste Boudreau, and Weldon Boudreau, who, by the way, insist they're not at all related. Here's Dolores first with the song Allons danser Kalinda. And I think I need to tell you that Heather, the piano player, is actually breastfeeding her daughter at the same time as playing some pretty tricky passages. It's a feat of technical virtuosity that I've never seen before, so I'm sure we'll all excuse her if she misses the odd note.
I love it.
My name is Dolores Boudreau, and I come from a small town on an island. Primarily, our people were fishermen. As you can see with the sea, the ocean, there's not much agriculture here because of the rock.
You are part of the small but very significant Acadian community on Cape Breton Island. Can you tell me where the roots of your community and your family in particular are?
Well, the very first Boudreau who came over to North America from France, his name was Michel Boudreau, and he came over in 1634, and I'm a direct descendant of his. And my particular family, we didn't go through the deportation of the Acadians back in 1755, thereabout.
This is what they call the Great Expulsion.
Exactly. My ancestors had left the other end of the province to move to Cape Breton about 100 years before this actually took place.
And tell me, for you, the role that music plays in this community.
Music has always played an integral part. As a little girl, I recall growing up, being raised by my grandparents. My grandfather played the fiddle. They had 10 children who all sang and played, and every night there'd be a party in our kitchen, and the neighbors would come and they'd bring their instruments, and people would be dancing and singing, and there was a lot of joy. And it just seemed that there were certain houses where people congregated, and lucky for me, my grandparents' house was one of those houses. And that continues today. There continues to be family and houses where you can actually always hear music.
The songs that you sing, do they find their own roots back to France in the same way as the families do?
Well, it's interesting because some of the songs, I'm not quite sure where they come from. They're so very old. But what's interesting about some of these songs is that in different parts of Nova Scotia, there are pockets of Acadians. We all sing a particular song. We don't know one another. Like when 40 years ago, we were singing the same songs, but we had never met. So they were interpreting it one way in their village, and we were interpreting it slightly different in our village. So it's just so interesting. It's like this is, it's all oral tradition, but yet how did people who lived so far away from one another and did not know each other, how did they have the same song in their heart, in their blood?
If I was to ask you what elements of your own specific culture, the Acadians, are very visible in that overall identity of Cape Breton, what would that be?
The life. Our music has a life to it. It has a joie de vivre, if you wish. And, you know, despite some very difficult years, some generations who went through some very difficult times, this is where they found their joy, and I think we carry it and we transmit it. I'm hoping we do.
Mon père aussi, ma mère, n'avait que moi d'enfant. Mon père aussi, ma mère, n'avait que moi d'enfant. N'avait que mon enfant, la destinée, la rose au bois. N'avait que moi d'enfant, n'avait que moi d'enfant. C'est pas l'affaire des filles d'aller voir les garçons. C'est pas l'affaire des filles d'aller voir les garçons. D'aller voir les garçons, la destinée, la rose au bois. D'aller voir les garçons, d'aller voir les garçons. Mais c'est l'affaire des filles de balayer la maison. Mais c'est l'affaire des filles de balayer la maison. De balayer la maison, la destinée, la rose au bois. De balayer la maison, de balayer la maison. Quand la maison est propre, tous les garçons y vont. Quand la maison est propre, tous les garçons y vont. Tous les garçons y vont, la destinée, la rose au bois. Tous les garçons y vont, tous les garçons y vont.
All right, this is a song about a local boat builder named George, and I named the song Le Petit Willy. And here you go. Un, deux, un, deux, trois, go! Au lambé du petit dégras vivait un homme de 60 ans. Bâtissait des beaux bateaux, il en restait très de bord de l'eau. Par un beau dimanche matin, j't'en faisais le signe de la paix. Quand la messe était finie, il rôdait le Tivoli. Sa maison j'avais pas trop à lire, mais personne pouvait le dire. Faisait ça qu'il osait faire, comme les poissons dans la mer. Ça fait longtemps que je l'ai pas vu, c'était plaisir de le reconnaître. My name is Weldon Boudreau, and I'm from a little place called Petit de Gras on Isle Madame, which is on Cape Breton Island.
And we're here in Petit de Gras, and for you, this is the center of where your family comes from.
As far as roots and traditions is concerned, this is the center of our universe. To have come to Petit de Gras Island, I don't know if you realize that you've crossed over three bridges to get here. There's the Petit de Gras Bridge, the Isle Madame Bridge, and the Cape Breton. So what happens is that they've made sure that they would not be expelled, exported again. They found the most remote fishing village where they can survive off potatoes and fish and herring. And they've not ventured off beyond that bridge, which is a mile away. They've all stayed here.
But they've chosen to do this.
And they've chosen, and they feel that they've missed nothing. You know how we feel that we're longing, if we're in a city, we're longing for the country, we're in the country, we long for the city, and we don't know what we're wanting. And that's me, of course, I'm speaking on my behalf. I find that the generation before mine, they didn't long. They just knew that they had found something here, something that felt right, a little paradise that was theirs. This has allowed the traditions to stay strong and tight.
The songs seem to be very much at the heart of the Acadian music. Is that fair to say?
It is very fair to say, and as a kid, I remember in school, having to sing songs that I would never thought I'd come full circle and not only adore, but try to add to the repertoire of Acadian songs that exist. And it's so humbling and special that my daughter, who's 10, namely José Boudreau, is now singing songs that I sung and that my mom had sung to her by her dad, all the same songs. That's a very humbling experience.
Can you tell me about the last song that you sang today?
Well, the last song was my take or my try to write a song that sounded as much traditional as the traditional songs that I had grown up with. And it took a long time. I wanted to mathematically and formulaically write it so that it would always come back to the beginning. But what I realize now, after experimenting in music for 20 odd years, is that it's as much the arrangement as it is the song itself. And so having a nice little repertoire of fiddle tunes or a French Acadian tune that could be danced, that brings in the Scottish, brings in the Mi'kmaq, brings in the Acadian, brings in a joy of music.
Les gens travaillent toujours fort, ils se marrent de temps en temps, ils se marrent de temps en temps. Les gens travaillent toujours fort, pis sont les pissenettes. Sur les rives de la rivière, viennent hommes de l'autre bord, viennent hommes de l'autre bord. Sur les rives de la rivière, pis sont les pissenettes. J'ai des choses à vous montrer, je réponds à vos prières, je réponds à vos prières. J'ai des choses à vous montrer, pissenlit, pissenette. Quand revient au printemps, dès je change, j'en serai sûr, dès je change, j'en serai sûr de droit. Quand revient au printemps, pissenlit, pissenette. Les gens travaillent toujours fort, pissenlit de temps en temps, pissenlit de temps en temps.
Over the centuries, Cape Breton has prospered through the richness of its natural resources. First, it was fishing. In the 19th and 20th centuries, it was mining. Now that the mines and the fish are all but gone, Cape Breton has been looking for a new industry. And in the past few years, there's been a lot of investment in music. A big autumn folk festival and the promotion of a Ceilidh Trail. Not so long ago, it looked like singing in Gaelic would die out. Now a young generation is keeping it flourishing. It seemed like Native American song would be lost in Cape Breton, but the Denny family has ensured its survival. It's now cool among the young generation to be a trad fiddler. And in the French Acadian community, singers like Weldon Boudreau are refreshing the tradition with new songs. The music of the communities of Cape Breton has probably never been stronger. So Aunt Muriel is now serving some amazing blueberry pie, blueberries picked fresh from the hillside just across from the house. And we know the party is nearly over. So to finish it off, pissenlit from Weldon and some sensational step dancing from 10-year-old José.
This month's World Roots was presented by Mary Ann Kennedy, and it was produced by Roger Short for the BBC.